All right, let's dive right into this. You brought some really interesting stuff about this legal case, Vogel v. Grant.
Yeah, it's kind of a fascinating
It's
one.
not just about, like who owes money, right? It gets into some pretty big questions about, the right to a jury trial and like how procedural rules, those little details, how those kind of bump up against that fundamental right.
Yeah.
And we've got details on like what the actual fight was about. The money involved gets a whopping $84.40.
Huge money.
Yeah, and how this whole thing went all the way up to the Maryland Court of Appeals.
Wild.
So let's figure out why this case, which seems kind of small on the surface, is actually a pretty big deal for like the bigger legal picture. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the thing that's so interesting about this, is like you said, it's a pretty small amount of money, right?
Yeah.
But it really highlights these core issues, you know? Like we said, that balance between having rules for how a case moves forward and also protecting those basic rights that we consider super important.
Right, exactly. So let's break it down. We've got Dr. Grant and Vogel Builders. What was the original problem here? What started this whole legal mess?
Well, like you said, at its core, it's a contract dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Grant, he was a mechanical engineer. He said Vogel Builders didn't pay him for some work he did, and it added up to, like you said, $1,084.40.
Okay.
Vogel Builders said, no, we don't owe him that. And that disagreement, well, that's what led to the whole lawsuit.
Okay. Got it. So how did Vogel Builders respond when they got hit with this lawsuit? What was their first move?
Their first move was pretty important. They actually filed a handwritten request for a jury trial.
Oh, interesting.
And they did this pretty early on, March 17th, 1981.
Okay.
So this is really important because it sets up everything that happens next.
Okay, now this handwritten request, it wasn't exactly by the book, was it? This is where things get kind of crazy.
Yeah.
What was the little problem with this jury demand that caused all this trouble?
Yeah, so they clearly said they wanted a jury to hear the case, right? But their handwritten request, it didn't have this thing called a certificate of service.
Certificate of
A
what?
certificate of service. Think of it like a receipt, you know, showing you officially told the other side about something you filed with the court.
Okay.
In this case, it should have shown that Dr. Grant knew about this demand for a jury trial.
Right.
But here's the catch. Even though that proof wasn't there officially, Dr. Grant's attorney admitted they got the demand.
Ah, so they knew about it.
Yeah. So we've got this small paperwork mistake, but everyone knows what's going on. So this brings up a big question, right? Does a little mess up with paperwork mean you lose a huge right, like the right to a jury trial?
That's a really good question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does a technicality trump a fundamental right? Right.
Exactly. That's the whole issue that the Court of Appeals had to deal with. And their answer, importantly, was not always, especially if that missing paperwork didn't actually hurt the other side.
Right.
You know, the fact that Grant's lawyer said, yeah, we got it, was key. So right away, we're thinking, do technicalities always win, even if the point of the rule, like letting everyone know it's happening, was actually met?
That's a big question, yeah. So even with this jury trial demand out there, what did the district court actually do? How did this case move forward?
Well, even though the Vogels said they wanted a jury, right?
Mm-hmm.
The district court decided to rule on motions to just get rid of that demand.
Oh, wow.
They said it was messed up because of that missing certificate and also that it wasn't filed on time, even though looking at the timeline, that seems wrong. So basically, the court was like, nope, no jury for you.
Oh, wow. So then what happened?
Well, the big thing here is that the case went to a bench trial in the district court.
Okay.
So instead of a group of regular people deciding the facts of the case, it was just the judge calling the shots. And the judge, well, they decided in favor of Dr. Grant. And this is a huge point of conflict, right? Because we had that jury trial demand sitting there.
Right. Yeah. Seems like a big problem.
Absolutely. The Vogels clearly wanted a jury, especially because the amount of money, just over $1,000, was enough to trigger this constitutional right to a jury trial in Maryland.
Right.
So the district court ignoring that demand and just doing a bench trial, that's what really started this whole appeals process. It makes you think about how much power a court really has when someone brings up one of these fundamental rights.
That's a really good point. And this is where the constitutional side of things comes in.
Yeah.
I mean, this case really shows how even a small amount of money can bring up some really big constitutional protections, right? Can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. So Article 23 of the Maryland Declaration of Rights is super important here.
Yeah.
It says straight up that the right to a jury trial for all factual issues in civil cases, it can't be messed with.
Mm-hmm.
And the key part for this case, this right kicks in when a civil case is about more than $500.
And we're talking about what, $1,084 and some change, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Way over that $500 mark. So it looks like the Vogels had a right based on the Constitution to have their case heard by a jury.
Makes sense. So how does this constitutional guarantee play out in the legal system?
Well, this guarantee is like a cornerstone of our legal system. Mm-hmm. It's there to make sure that regular people have a say in resolving disputes about facts.
Right.
And the fact that it applies even in a case with just over $1,000, it shows that it's not just for huge lawsuits, you know?
Yeah.
It covers everyday disagreements as long as they hit that amount. So it's a good reminder that even small legal fights can have some big constitutional angles.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to the next twist in this whole thing, the jurisdictional shift. That sounds really important. Can you explain how that jury trial demand affects which court actually gets to hear the case?
This is where it gets interesting from a procedural point of view. Under Maryland law, there's a specific rule at section 4402E of the Courts and Judicial Proceedings article. And it says that when someone has the right to a jury trial in a district court case and they ask for one, the jurisdiction, basically the power to handle the case, immediately goes from the district court to the circuit court.
So automatically, like as soon as Vogel Builders filed that handwritten demand, the district court couldn't do anything else with the case, like flipping a switch.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. The law is really clear on this. Once that demand is filed correctly and the case fits the rules, like the amount being over $500, the district court's job becomes like mostly paperwork. They just have to send the case over to the circuit court.
Okay.
They can't make big decisions anymore, like whether that jury demand is okay. So this brings up a big question about like how power is split between different courts in Maryland.
Yeah, like who gets to do what, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a really clear division of power. The district court handles the first steps, maybe smaller cases. But once a jury trial is on the table, the case moves up to the circuit court. It seems like the district court might have overstepped here by trying to rule on that demand after it was already filed.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the Court of Appeals decided. They said once that jury demand was made and the case was worth more than $500, the district court lost its power to even look at that motion to strike the demand.
Hmm.
So anything they did after that point, like having the bench trial and making a decision, was basically considered invalid. They didn't have the right to do it anymore.
Okay, so Vogel Builders appealed to the circuit court, right? And you'd think they'd be making a huge fuss about not getting their jury trial. What happened there? Sounds like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it really was. They did appeal, and they brought up their right to a jury trial.
Mm-hmm.
But the circuit court agreed with the district court without really talking about this whole jury trial issue. They just upheld the lower court's decision, maybe based on other stuff, but totally sidestepped the really big procedural and constitutional questions. It makes you wonder why they didn't catch what seems like a pretty big mistake.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they got focused on other parts of the appeal and didn't pay enough attention to the whole jurisdiction thing and the right to a jury.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows how important it is to really clearly argue all your points when you're appealing.
Absolutely. It shows that even in higher courts, really important legal ideas can get missed. And of course, this led to the final appeal going up to the highest court in Maryland, the Court of Appeals.
Right, to the big guys.
Yeah.
So they finally heard the case. What was their reasoning for saying the lower courts got it wrong?
Well, the reasoning came down to two main ideas.
Okay.
First, the importance of the right to a jury trial, which is protected by the Constitution.
Yeah.
And second, that automatic transfer of jurisdiction we talked about. They said that because the amount was over $500, the Vogels definitely had a constitutional right to a jury trial. It's interesting to see how the court balanced following procedural rules with protecting these super important rights.
Yeah, it's a tough balance, for sure. And what about those procedural problems with the jury demand, like that missing certificate? How do they handle that?
They said, yeah, there are rules that need to be followed.
Mm-hmm.
But they also said those rules shouldn't be used to take away a fundamental right unless the other side was actually hurt or caught off guard. In this case, Dr. Grant's lawyer admitted they got the demand. So that missing certificate didn't really mean anything.
Right.
It didn't show any harm or unfair surprise. So that paperwork mistake wasn't enough to throw out the whole jury trial request.
Okay, that makes sense. And they really stressed that jurisdiction point too, right? That once the jury demand was filed, the district court couldn't really do anything else with the case.
Oh yeah, they were very clear about that. Once a valid jury trial demand is made and the case qualifies for a jury, the district court's power ends, except for sending the case files to the circuit court. Anything they did after that point, like ruling on that motion to strike and having that bench trial, was wrong. They didn't have the authority to do it.
Interesting. You also mentioned this concept of waiver.
Yeah.
How did that factor into the Court of Appeals decision?
This is a really important point for anyone involved in legal stuff.
Okay.
So even though the district court made a mistake, Dr. Grant's lawyers had a chance to object to those problems with the jury demand when the case was in the circuit court.
Right.
But they didn't object properly at that point. So the Court of Appeals said they basically gave up their right to complain about those problems later on. It shows how important it is to make your objections clear and at the right time during a case.
So to sum it all up, what's the big takeaway from this Vogel v. Grant case, and what was the final outcome?
This case really emphasizes that fundamental rights, like the right to a jury trial, can't be ignored just because of small technicalities, especially if the other side wasn't really harmed.
Right.
It also makes it really clear how jurisdiction works between district and circuit courts in Maryland when someone asks for a jury trial. It highlights that automatic transfer of power.
And in the end, what did the Court of Appeals decide?
They reversed the lower court's decision that was in favor of Dr. Grant.
Okay.
And they sent the case back to the circuit court with very clear instructions. It has to go to a jury trial. This really shows how important that original jury demand was, even though it was handwritten, and how important it is to protect that right to a jury trial.
So there you have it. Vogel v. Grant. A fight over a little more than $1,000 that ended up revealing all these important things about constitutional rights and how courts work. It shows how important it is to understand both the substance of a case and the rules of the legal process. While those procedural rules are important, they shouldn't be used to block fundamental rights when no real harm was done. This case is a great example of how important it is to understand the specifics of jurisdiction and the priority of those constitutional guarantees. It leaves us with this thought: how often do small procedural things have big consequences for our rights, and what can we do to make sure those rights are protected?
That's a great question to think about.
Thanks for breaking this down. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, anytime. Glad we could dive into it.
All right, until next time.
See you then.